Good morning. How are you doing today? Doesn't sound like you're doing all that good. Let's try it again. Good morning. How are you doing today? Good. Good to hear. I'm Pastor Rob, one of the teaching pastors. I really count it a privilege to be here with you, being able to speak to you this morning. Want to give a shout out to our campus in Muskego. Say good morning to you as well. Everybody just give them a round of applause, will you? Because you're all like, who are you talking to right now, right? As well as Waterford. We've got two campuses that are doing church today as well, besides here in Waukesha, and that's just an amazing thing. Continue just to see God work in amazing ways. We're wrapping up a series here called Dig Deep. Are you ready to dig deep? Okay, you still sound pretty pathetic this morning, all right? It's like, no, I don't want to do any digging this morning. You know what? Come on, we're past that. It's almost winter. The ground's hard, right? Well, you know, we have been talking about dig deep because it's so very important that we continue to understand something. And it's been our maxim for this series here. And give you a little cheat because maybe you remember it. Hopefully you do. If not, would you read it with me? There is what? So much more. Because if we get to the point where we think, you know what, not been there, done that, we're not going to continue growing. That's going to have major ramifications, as we're going to even see today, that those ramifications oftentimes are bigger than what we even understand or might even believe. And that's because it impacts more than just us. Well, it's kind of interesting that as we wrap up the series, not in totality, you know, if you've been reading through the New Testament, that's going to go on for a few more weeks here as well, but the teaching part of the series at least, we wrap up, what we're going to do is we're going to go to the wrap up of Jesus' time on this earth, because he gives some very important instructions, his departing words. And if you've ever been there when someone has given some departing words, in fact, here Jesus is giving departing words to disciples about discipleship. And that's what we've been talking about through this series, because the New Testament teaches us the difference really between calling yourself a Christian and actually being a follower or a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so when you think departing words, think how important they are. If you've ever been to someone, you know, by someone's bedside maybe when they're passing away, and they wanted to pass on some of the major teachings of their life even, they were very important, and we wanted to lean in a little bit. We wanted to listen there. Or maybe not in such a, you know, really serious situation, but something that might be like when you are going to leave for an extended period of time. Those words that are said at that time are probably some of the most important words, right, that you'll ever hear. Usually something like, I'm going to miss you. Anybody think that's an important thing when you're leaving someone you love, right, to tell them? It is, isn't it? Or probably even one that's a little bit stronger, a lot stronger than that, three words that can be so very meaningful when you're going to depart. Do you know what they are? I love you. Very important, aren't they? Departing words. You know that you're going to be leaving. Maybe a little bit in your mind might be, you know what, I'm not sure if I'm going to ever see you again, so I want to let you know this. I don't want you left wondering about it. Some of them were a little more humorous even. I remember Mom, every time I'd leave the house, she'd say what? Drive what? Safely or careful. You know what I'm thinking in my head? Well, duh, I'm going to do that. But teenager, safely, you know, to an adult, you know, kind of two different things, aren't they? A little bit there. So, but they're very important words, though, because again, it showed she cared. Well, Jesus has these very important words he wants to leave with us. Last week, we looked at what's known as the Great Commandment. Now, this one, when you put it with that, you see this package of discipleship. This one is known as the Great Commission, the commissioning of every Christ follower. These are our marching orders. He's saying, if you want to be a disciple, you need to keep this at the forefront of your mind. We find it in the book of Matthew. Let me ask you to turn there, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 28. If you need a Bible, go ahead, grab one of the ones in front of you there. You'll find them in the seats there. And you'll find it on page number 1554 is where you'll find Matthew chapter 28. And we're just going to start with these two verses because, again, they give this truth, these parting words. Now, when I say parting words, a lot of times our mind goes to what? Where's Jesus at this time? We think he's hanging on a cross. No, that's not what's happening. That's already been done. He's not only been crucified, but he's come back alive again, and he's walked the earth for a while here, not a very long time, just a few days. And so he gathers his disciples together because now they will not see him again until they go to heaven, because that's where he's going. He's going to ascend to heaven. So right before he ascends to heaven, he leaves these marching orders for the church. He leaves these marching orders for everyone who would say, I am a Christ follower. Now listen to what he says here. Verses 19 and 20, it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Did you catch what he told us to do? He said, we need to go and we need to make disciples. Help people go public with their faith through believers' baptism. And then to obey the things that I have instructed, that I have commanded, because those are the things that are needed for this life and to be a follower. So I thought, how can I give that in just two simple words so that we can walk out of here with this takeaway? You know, we've learned that disciples are others-focused. We've learned that they live by grace and by hope and by faith and by love. But there's something else very important that disciples do. Do you know what they do according to that verse? Disciples, this is going to be huge. Ready? They disciple. Can you say that with me? Disciples disciple. I know that breaks every rule of grammar right there. You cannot use the same word twice, right? But that helps us get it, doesn't it? He's saying, if you are a Christ follower, you help others follow Christ too. You go and you tell them about who Jesus is. You help them. You help answer their questions. And you help them to follow as well. And he says, it's so very important. And here's why it's important, or why disciples disciple. It's because discipleship continues to be Christ's progression plan. Have you ever thought back? This whole thing about go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded. About how many years ago was that said? Anybody take a stab at that? It was Jesus who said it, so we know it's about. You don't have to be exact. Give me approximate. Round it off to the thousands, okay? How many? 2,000 years ago. That's a long time, isn't it? Do you realize the only way that we have that today is why? Because someone passed it on. Do you realize when those words were said, there wasn't somebody standing by saying, let me take notes, Jesus, right now. His disciples weren't doing that. And yet God inspired his word so that we could have it. And then there have been people who have passed it on because that's the way that Jesus said, my church is going to endure. My church is going to last because I said it's going to. And because I'm going to set up this thing called discipleship, where we pass on to the next generations what I have taught. That's why it's a way that Christ set up for his message to continue to be relevant and to go out today even. But there's other reasons. One of them would be this. Disciples disciple because disciples are not satisfied with teaching that stops with them. That is a huge thing. You see, there's a different mindset when you're listening for yourself and when you're listening for others, isn't there? When you're listening for yourself, you can kind of say, I don't really need that. I'm going to zone out right now, you know, just kind of like, hey, I'm going to chill. Church time's my time to sleep, you know, catch up on my rest. But if you're listening knowing you're going to have a quiz afterwards and that quiz is going to come from your child, oh, you better listen up, right? That quiz is going to come from your friend, not in a bad way, but in an inquisitive way. Hey, can you tell me about Jesus? Then all of a sudden it changes the game, doesn't it? It's like, wow, you know what? I need to look at what I learn, whether it be in church, whether it be outside of church, whether it be when I open up my Bible and read it, when I pray, God, would you teach me something? Would you show me something about yourself? When I look at it from an aspect of, you know what? I need to take this and I need to give it away. I need to give it to someone else. It changes everything. And that's what a disciple does. A disciple doesn't say, you know what, I'm going to soak in. But they're thinking, how can I give this to someone else? They're not satisfied. So they're regularly asking this question right here. And I hope that you will ask the same question. Who can I share this with? Who can I share it with? Now, again, it breaks all the rules, doesn't it? At work, when you get a little bit of information that you feel is very beneficial, is the first thing you can think of, hey, I want to share this with everyone else? Or is it, I want to keep this to myself because I want an advantage here? Can you imagine doing that with God's word? Hey, I have the answer to the sin problem in this world. I have the answer to salvation, but I'm going to just keep it to myself because I don't want anybody else to know about it. Do you really only want to be the only person in heaven? Really? That wouldn't be very fun, would it? No, he wants us to share it. And so he wants us to be thinking, when you receive, that you go ahead and you give. You give to others. We're going to find there's several ways to do that. But one of the things that we have to understand is this, is that, you know what? There's a link between generations of Christ followers. Do you know what that link is? Look at the person beside you right now, and it's okay to point at them, would you? Point at them and say, it's you. It's you. You're the link between generations. And I don't just mean age-wise. This can be spiritual maturity-wise as well. You see, we all have people who have come before us and we've benefited from them. Here's what I want you to do. I left a couple blanks for you there. Would you write in two names of people that have come before you that were Christ followers? You might not be a Christ follower yourself, but the likelihood is you're here today because there was a Christ follower that came before you and you know their name. I want you to write their name in there. Who is that? There are several for me. One of them is our senior pastor, Pastor Guy. Many of you don't know this probably, but we go way back. I met him when I was 16 years old, and that wasn't even here in Wisconsin. That was in Iowa, and that's when he became my pastor. His name goes in that blank because if it wasn't for him, one of many, I wouldn't have some of the godly influences in my life that I have, even yet today. I wouldn't be married to the woman that I'm married to, most likely. I wouldn't have the kids that I have today. I wouldn't have the spiritual influence. It wouldn't be the same, in other words. I have another lady named Kathy. She said to me, you know what, you got to do what's called a devotional. In other words, you got to stand up and you got to speak in front of people. I said, I'm not doing that. I said, I've never used that in my entire life. Why would I do something like that? She says, no, I think you'd be good at this. He says, you should think about becoming a pastor. By the way, I'm still thinking about that, okay? So if you're wondering. I'm like, nah, I don't think so. She goes, no, seriously, I think you really should. Okay. We have people who came before us that encouraged us. Some of them encouraged us to become a Christian. Some have taken the step further and said, no, you need to be a Christ follower. You need to devote your life, and I'm not talking pastors at this point. I'm talking disciples. You need to be a Christ follower where you take what Jesus says seriously and that you share it with others as well. Here's why. Because just like we have people who have come before us, we also have people who are coming after us. And the only way they're going to get the message, not the only way, there's going to be several ways, I shouldn't say the only way, but it's for us to take it to them, to give it to them. And so do you have a couple people? They can be friends. They can be family members. For me, there's been a few people, again. Know who three of them are? Brittany, Jordan, and Brooke. My children. Because I want nothing more than for them to be disciples. To be Christ followers. And I hope that you have someone in your life. And again, it may be friends. I have friends. I have friends that I meet with regularly now because they sharpen me and I'm able to sharpen them. We're able to give back and forth. Ask some of the most important questions of life. And to have that, is that happening for you? If you're a teenager, is that happening for you? We're going to find out later that Paul invested in a young person who didn't think that they were ready yet. You know what? You're ready. You're a teenager. You have friends. You need to be sharing with them what God's doing in your life. You're a child. Know what? You need to speak into your parents' life at times. Right, parents? Yeah. They can be cool little Holy Spirits for us sometimes, can't they? Children, you got friends. You got neighbors. Go to them. Tell them about how much you love Jesus. Even if you're like, I don't know if I love Jesus yet. That's okay. Talk to them about him. Ask them questions. We have people who are coming after us, and guess what? There's one link between them. Do you know who it is? It's you. It's you. You're right in the middle of them. And guess what? Sometimes the one who come before don't even get to meet the ones who have come after. They don't. But right there in the middle, the connection that they don't even know about is you. You. And God wants to use you. And so he says, go and make disciples. Make an impact on other people in a way that pleases him. Now, a lot of times we think, well, that's just information. I can give out information. You know what? It's more than that. Because discipleship, disciples walk beside those who they're discipling. Part of it is information, right? I'm convinced every person in the world needs to know that Jesus died, that he rose from the dead, and that's what it took for them to be saved. Every single person needs to know that. Now, I'm not going to get the opportunity to share it with every single person, but I believe every single person needs that. They may get the information. Anybody else have questions when somebody shared that with you for the first time? It's like, are you serious? Are you sure about that? See, a disciple has to walk beside. Jesus walked beside the men that he called, the women that he called. He walked beside them. Do you know why? Because they had some questions that we read and we laugh at, right? Thinking, I can't believe they asked that question. Some of them we laugh at and they'd say, oh, I had that same question. What am I laughing at? Questions like, how do I forgive someone when I feel like I hate them right now? You need someone in your life that's been there that can say, do you realize Jesus forgave you and he wants you to forgive like that without the strings attached? How about when someone teaches you, you need to give your life away. You need to give it away. Anybody have questions with that one? Like, what happens when I give it all away? What do I have left? We have those questions, right? Those are discipleship questions. When we scratch our heads, when we're reading about Jesus and his disciples, and he tells them some of the hard stuff of life, we need to be able to ask those questions of someone. We need to be able to ask questions like, you know what, why do bad things happen to good people? And not that we're going to be able to answer that by whipping out a verse, you know, but we can go there, can't we? And we can look at God, and we can look at a loving God, and we can wrestle with the tension between loving God and broken world, and we need someone who will walk that walk with us. And you need someone that you're walking that walk with. Who is it? Can you put a couple names in those blanks? I hope you'll be able to do so before we even walk out these doors today. But it is more than a transfer of knowledge. You realize we have all kinds of information at our fingertips today. Can you imagine disciples having a computer, being able to send out God's word? It would have went out in a totally different way. But as he's speaking to them, you know what they had to do? They had to go have a conversation with somebody. They didn't even have it written down yet. And yet we can go ahead, we can copy a verse, put it in an email and send it out. You know what? That's part of discipleship when you do that. You can encourage someone. You can help them. You can sit in a group, one of our journey groups, one of our step studies, and have a conversation with someone, help them grow just by being there with them. And that's what God wants you to do, and that's part of discipleship. You see, we don't lack for information. Sometimes we can feel inadequate, and sometimes we are. But we don't lack for information. We can get it out. But it's not just information. It's also relationship that you need in order to disciple. And that is one of our weaknesses, I'm convinced today. Because although we're overloaded with a plethora of information at our fingertips, one of the things we don't do well at is relationships. And our relationships tend to be very, very thin. So thin that, you know what? We've been convinced, I don't talk to someone about God because they might not like me anymore. That's sad. Isn't it? It's like we need to have relationships where we can speak into another person's life and we allow them to speak into our life. And that we have enough relational credibility that it doesn't end just because we disagree on something. Say, no, we need to walk beside because we need to love them enough that we can have conversation. So here's something we need to learn every time or understand every time. In learning, you will teach. And in teaching, you will learn. It's an amazing thing. You'll hear people who prepare to teach, they say, you know what, I learned so much, not just in the preparation, but in the conversation that took place. Any time that you say, you know what, I'm going to learn, if you're interactive, you'll also do some teaching. Again, that's why we say be in a group. Just get together with other people so that discipleship continues to take place. Have coffee with a friend. Ask some questions that are very intentional so that you can find some answers. But God wants us to continue to learn. So how do we do that? Well, I want to show you one of the places that it took place and actually gives us a great strategy for doing this. And it's through, really, a discipleship connection between two people. One's named Paul and the other's name's Timothy. Again, Paul was nearing the end of his life, and he knows, I need to pass this on. And so he chose a young man named Timothy. And with Timothy, he said, I want to prepare you for this thing, this passing on, sharing what you've learned. And so here's how he describes it. And we see it here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 2. Look at it with me, would you? It says, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. He says, that's how it happens. He says, look, this is four generations he's talking about, at least four different groups of people. He says, I've learned some things. I'm going to entrust them to you, Timothy. I want you to give them to someone else, but who does he give them to? Those who are able to teach others also. He says, that's the way that it works. That's what I want you to do. So he chose a young man named Timothy. As I mentioned, so young that he had to tell him, he says, don't let anyone despise you because you're too young. Don't do that. Don't kid yourself thinking, I'm too young to make any kind of difference. You're not. The things that you've learned, all God's saying is, I want you to pass them on to someone else. It may be a sibling. It may be an adult. But I want you to pass these things on. And so he uses three things to describe this here. He says, I want you to entrust. Basically, he says, I want you to put a deposit in someone, an investment, invest in someone else. Entrust them with God's word. Entrust them with who Jesus is. Entrust them with spiritual conversations. And then he gets a little more targeted in that because he begins to talk about the person he wants them to entrust that to. He says, to reliable people. In other words, all he's talking about here is faithful people, people who will not just hold on to this as we see the next part, but will give it away. When he says those people, a quality about them is that they are qualified to teach. Now, right away, that's the sticking point, isn't it, with some of us? It's like, yep, you just discounted me. I'm not qualified. You have something to offer. You do. Because you have learned something that you can give away to someone else. Now, there's other things that can disqualify us. When our lives don't match up with our teaching, there are going to be people who will not listen. So it's best if your life matches the teaching, the thing that you're saying. So he's saying, but you need to take that now. Don't guard it. Don't hold on to it. But give it away to someone else. That's what discipleship is all about. So what keeps this from happening? I want to give you two inhibitors as we wrap up here. Things that keep us from being disciplers. Other than, you know, we might not want to, okay? But one of the biggest things is this. When disciples stop learning themselves, then they really don't have a lot to offer anyone else, do they? And so what that means is you need to be continuing to learn. You can never get a been there, done that attitude, ever, with Jesus. You remember our maxim? What is it? There is what? So much more. You have to believe that. God's teaching you more. There are five things that grow our faith, really. God's the one who grows it, but he does it through some very unique ways here. And when we look at that, what he does is he fills us with faith. One of those, and it's acrostic faith that I want to give you here, but one of those through friends. We've talked about that. That's why we say, hey, you know what? You need to be in a group, because you know what happens in a group? You meet some people that you become comfortable with that you can ask some of the hard questions to, that you may not know where to go in God's word, and they can point you in the right direction. Friends are very important. Some of you have joined a journey group, a step study, or one of our other groups here. For that reason, I hope that you're finding that take place. Not only friends, but actions. We talked about when we serve, you know what happens to our faith? It grows. Because usually when we serve, we find ourselves in a place where it's like, God, I can't do this unless you help me. actions. They grow our faith. Something in this next one, try one of the hardest ones. Some of you have taken this very serious, though, and I want to say don't stop. And it's intentionality. There's another word for that. We don't like it. We call them spiritual disciplines. You know why you call them spiritual disciplines? Because it takes discipline to do them. We're talking when you open up God's word for yourself and you read it, guess what happens? God grows your faith. When you have a conversation with him in prayer, guess what happens? God grows your faith. When you take a challenge, I'm going to read through the New Testament. Don't let that stop. Continue to have that input coming into your life, into your heart. Teaching, sitting here, whether it be in a large group, again, whether it be in a small group, whether it be a one-on-one, teaching takes place in all those different ways. And God uses them to fill us up, to grow our faith. And the last one we haven't really touched on, we won't touch a lot on even now. It's history. It's one we can't plan, we wouldn't want to plan. It's the circumstances of life that God uses sometimes to get your attention, to say, I'm going to grow. Patience is one of those, right, that happens during those times. Perseverance is one of those that happens during those times. The testing of our faith, God calls it. That's that history, those circumstances. And we come out of it a lot of times with a greater faith. And we see, wow, God, you've done so much. During this series of Dig Deep, we've seen that over and over, I hope. Now, what do we need to do with it? Well, you know what? There's others involved, aren't there? Because nobody expects us to do with it? To pour into somebody else. That's what he expects us to do with it. To not keep it to ourselves. Now, when we do that, there's another mistake that we can make. God wants us to empty our cup. But you can't fill someone else's. If you try filling someone else's, you're probably going to die doing so. Because they're going to dry you out. Because you don't have the capacity to fill someone else's cup. So our responsibility is just to empty ours. But they need to go to the same place that we did and have God fill theirs. And we need to be refilled as well. And only God can fill it. That means we need to make sure that we're not attempting to do God's part. That we're being used by God. Yes, we're part of the process. But we have to realize we're just a part of the process. How do we know that? Look at this verse, if you would, with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 6. He says, I planted the seed. Very important. We need to plant. That's what we're talking about when we share something with another person. Apollos came along, he watered it. But, would you read the next part with me? God has been making it grow. Did you catch who makes it grow? Only God makes it grow. You cannot make another person become a disciple of Jesus Christ. But you can plant the seed. You can even water that seed. And then you sit back and watch what God does with it. He says, that's an amazing thing that you want to be a part of, I hope. He says, I want you to be a disciple. Because disciples what? They disciple others. So don't let it stop. Don't let it stop with you. Continue to learn. Continue to let things come into your life. But don't leave them there. Share them with someone else. Find someone that you can invest in. Find someone else that you can give it away to. And that we would do that. So that's the question, right? Because during this series, we have stretched further. We've pushed harder. And we've dug deeper than many of us have in a long time. Don't stop. Use those things to ask the question, so what's next? How many of you have learned something through this series? Just make me feel good, would you? Raise your hand, okay? All right, thank you. Do you realize you have a great responsibility now? Because what's God want you to do with that? He wants you to share it with someone else. That means anybody in this room doesn't count, okay? Share it with someone else. Would you make that commitment? If you would, this is what I want you to do this morning. Commitment between you and God. But there's something in writing it down. Guy challenged us early on in this series. Would you be more than just a Christian? Would you be a disciple? If that's your commitment to Christ, is continue being a disciple, would you just write disciple on that card? If you're in that place of unknown, maybe you don't even have that relationship with Jesus Christ, would you note that on that card? We'd be glad to have a conversation with you about that. But make a commitment to not let it stop. Let's pray. God, help us. Help us to be used by you. to plant those seeds, to water them, and then to enjoy watching you work in growing others because you've used us in such an amazing way. God, help our love for you to grow in all of that, to never stop learning ourselves, but be disciples, God. Praise things in Christ's name. Amen.